Hello, I'm Dave Ashton from the EAS. I am in charge of numeracy at secondary across the region, and today I'm joined by Andras Luca. Andras, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, good morning, Dave. My name's Andras Luca. I am the science advisor for EAS, former science teacher for 21 years, about 17 years as a head of science in three challenging schools. Thoroughly enjoyed my science time, you know, in school, and now I am the advisor for South East Wales.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for joining me. I've got a few questions today that I'm going to go through specifically about developing numeracy in science. So without further ado, I'll get started. My first question is, do you feel there are opportunities to develop numeracy skills in science?
Well, science is a numeracy-rich subject. I've been reflecting on this, and maybe science is maths, but with a science story. You know, throughout our sort of delivery of science, pupils have to perform calculations. They have to rearrange formulas. They have to work in different units. They have to interpret data in various forms, present data in various forms. And, you know, if you go further along the trail of science, you get to sort of A level, you know, you could almost mistake A level chemistry and physics as maths with a story, you know. So it is part of the golden thread that threads itself through science, maybe the DNA of science.
That's a really nice idea, sort of like maths in action. We get asked a question quite regularly, which is, oh, what is the point of this? And I think if we can sort of tie in with subjects such as science, there's a few others that sort of spring to mind as well, that they could actually see the point of doing it, because the skills that we teach that can potentially be quite abstract can actually be really used well in your subject. I'll move on to my second question then after that lovely introduction, which is, what are the benefits of using numeracy approaches to support teaching of science?
Well, I suppose I reflect on my own practice. I wouldn't want to label anybody else, you know, with what I say now. But I do reflect my own practice, and I can see the benefits of working with a numeracy coordinator and someone knows a lot more about numeracy than me then. And that's for me to get the language right. You know, when I'm doing calculations or I'm using number in my lessons, I can remember 21 years ago in a school I was in Pontypool, the maths teacher who was head of year came into my classroom, and I was doing some division with my class, and I was modeling, dividing, and he came in and he said, what are you using that term for? We don't use that term, we use share. Well, I'd never heard of share before, you know, it was division when I came through school, and I had a rap on the knuckles there from him in a friendly way. And he came in another time then when I was, you know, doing some graph work with Key State Street. And he said, oh, you're teaching that incorrectly. That's not the way we do it in maths. You know, we have a different approach to it. And then there was a third thing when he came in and I was doing long division, you know, showing the kids. I'm sure it was long division, but he said, oh, we use this box method. I'm sure it was, you know, I didn't really understand it when he was showing me. I thought that was way too complex. But the way that I was delivering maths in for those pupils in that school was wrong, because I was doing it from where I was programmed as a pupil when I was in school. So I think that's one benefit in terms of working with someone with more experience, or it's to get the language right and get a consistency. But one thing that's been on my mind with the new curriculum is about progression, you know, and even within my own subject, I'm a chemist. I'm thinking, you know, what does progression look like in terms of chemistry for this aspect of chemistry? You know, where do I start and how do I bring it through? I don't think I know what progression in maths looks like. So if I was working on percentages, you know, and I wanted to build the pupil's abilities. No, I don't know where I'm supposed to start, and I don't know where I'm supposed to go to. And I think that part of working with someone with that knowledge and that skill would benefit me.
I think that's a really, really good point. And I think anything where you should go in terms of your progression, you should just look at what's available in science and what do you need to get them ready to do their science GCSE, whether that's chemistry, physics or biology. That if you went further, then it's a little bit like it's starting to get shoehorned in because you're starting to do stuff that's not relevant to you. But I know this one particularly well because I've recorded a mini help video for it, which was percentage change in biology. And I think you have to do it in chemistry as well.
Yeah.
In terms of what they needed to do, the maths was pretty easy, but the hard thing for me was actually reading the table and actually picking out exactly the information they wanted, because it was quite a complex table to go and work out. Weird sort of place names. It said, what is the percentage change from Islay from this time to this time? Actually go and find that out and being able to do what you need to do from there, but just having a conversation with your numeracy coordinator in school or a maths department who's linked with the science department and saying, we need to do these type of calculations here. What do you do here? How do you start? And just let them see things that are going to let them jog their memory. Because, so this is what you will have seen in maths. Because that's the thing that I think that we often get. It's like, no, we've never done that before. I've never, especially if I go and teach a class who I know have been taught a certain skill in maths. And then you show them, so they're like, oh, yeah, I know that. But they're adamant at first. They haven't been taught it.
Yeah, I know what you say there. Like, for me, working at the percentage, you know, when we were going to say percentage yield or, I know, what was the percentage of salt in that rock sample there? You know, for me as maybe an adult and working at percent, I think, well, it's common sense. Surely they know, because if you ask them, what percent did you get when they did the test, you know, and they've got a score out of, say, 20, a lot of them may not be able to work out that percentage, but they would know what you mean. You know, and I find when they come to science and you say, well, we're going to work at the percentage, like, well, it's like you're saying something new they've never heard of. So what is the, you know, what is the sales pattern almost of that maths teacher that gets the trigger so they know, right, this is what the teacher's on about here, you know? And I think that's because I've made my own up, you know, which is about, well, in a test, you know, you got there, and I bring them back to that. But are there other, you know, maths sort of processes, language you would use then to trigger, I know what he's on about here?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think you only really get there with time and actually sort of having that time with a maths department where you can say, look, these are the body of things that we do. The numeracy coordinator is then just double checked to see if there's anything that's sort of like maybe a missed opportunity. And then you can really start to develop those sort of cross subject areas where you've got those trigger words that they, you know, that they use in maths, and you say, look, I know you do this in maths, and it's not necessarily teaching the skill, it's just teaching them to jog their memory and say, right, I know I need to just say this. This is the language that the maths department use around that.
Yeah, I'm going to come back to you there, Dave, as well. And sorry, I might be jumping onto maybe a question you'll ask me later on. It's about working with those coordinators as well. Although I love maths and I think I'm pretty good at it, you know, when I'm building my science scheme of learning, I suppose I'm putting in the numeracy opportunities then and experiences that I probably had that when I was in school from my maths and science teachers, and I look at the specs, but maybe there are opportunities there because I'm not a true mathematician, I don't see. And I know that's the case because for years, I think about this is the only way I've done it. We've done cars coming down a ramp and we change the different height of the ramp and we measure the time it takes for the car to go down the ramp. We work out the speed and so on. And then I just stumbled across this resource where someone was not looking at the height. They were looking at the angle of the ramp, you know, and I thought, well, oh, that's a mathematical challenge, you know, for them to get the angle, you know, right to measure that. But I'd never done that before. And I've been, like I said, I've been teaching 20 some odd years, you know, in the profession, nearly 30 years. And I just hadn't thought of that. But working with someone who is numeracy through and through, they could look at maybe that sort of investigation. Say, well, look, you could do this. You know, that would widen the breadth of numeracy experiences they have in science.
I think you're absolutely right about, and you mentioned it about multiplication. I can remember when I went back to teaching maths, I went to my way that I was taught in 90, whatever year I was taught long multiplication in school. And it certainly wasn't the box method or the grid method that you alluded to. And I think when you talk about what you just talked about with the car, you could even bring in sort of like hypotheses and actually start to do things like that with students about what a null hypothesis is. Is it that the bigger the angle, that the car's going to go faster? There's got to be a point that if you're basically going at a 90-degree angle, the car's going to go literally straight into the table. It's not going to go very far at all. Yeah. So talking about, the bigger the angle, the faster the car's going to go, and actually getting them to sort of like work on their hypotheses. But it's about having those opportunities to talk with someone who's a numeracy coordinator. And having done the role myself, it's something that I know that's really important to meet up with subjects and talk about what you do, and for them to have a look at your scheme of work, say, oh, have you thought about this, and just see things in maybe a slightly different context.
Yeah.
Lovely, thanks for that. Really, really comprehensive answer. So we've talked about the benefits. What are the pitfalls of using numeracy approaches to support the teaching of science?
Right, reflecting then, first of all, when I was back in school leading the science department, and I was in one particular school, we weren't very successful, and you know, Estyn were revisiting us, you know, a number of times, and we were under a lot of pressure. Numeracy literacy became a huge drive within the school, and in a way, it became a requirement that within, you know, an observed lesson, you know, there is literacy, numeracy in it, you know, and as a science teacher, I'm not a literacy expert and I'm not a numeracy expert. And I can remember in the early days, we would be observed and we'd try and do this literacy task, we'd try and do this numeracy task, but we got so wound up in looking at that, we missed the science. We lost track of the science, you know, and because of that, the kids didn't really make the progress in the science. And then because we weren't really the experts in the literacy or numeracy, and we were trying to wedge in, force in that literacy numeracy task because we knew we were being observed. And I think we can jump in on the numeracy and literacy bandwagon, and then we could maybe sometimes lose sight of what we really are trying to get the kids to learn in terms of your own subject discipline, you know. And I think you have to be aware, so it has to be a natural fit, I suppose. The numeracy has to come in where it naturally fits and adds to the science, and it doesn't become the dominating factor and detract from the science. I think that's one concern, I suppose, I have. And the other thing then is being overloaded as a teacher. Where, say, if I work with you, Dave, and you come up and you say, well, look, there's these 10 different things we're going to work on now, and you spend an hour with me, and of course, my brain is going because you overload me with those 10 things. And I then try and deliver those 10 things, but because I haven't picked the one thing and deliver it, repeat, it doesn't become ingrained within me. My grasp of those 10 things will be very, very weak. And I don't become a resilient, I'm not a resilient learner then, or a deliverer then to the pupils in that area. And really we have a minimum effect. So I suppose what I'm saying is that if I was back in school now and I was going to work with a numeracy coordinator, I would say, well, give me one thing now, show me that one thing, and I become a master of that, and I drive that throughout my teaching for the next, say, 4 weeks, and so it becomes part of me, you know, and I never lose that, you know. And then I come back to you and I say, well, look, give me one more, and I build gradually my experience that we've had. And again, I'm not disparaging anybody, but when I've been in schools and we've been in those challenging environments, they've like thrown like a day at us of literacy, you know, and it's so much to take in. You don't really take much in at all. And, you know, there's not much effect in the classroom. So I think for me, and it's just my opinion, give me something small. Let me become the master of it. And, you know, like what we're seeing, small marginal gains, isn't it? You know, that's, I suppose, the approach I would take. And I think there's the danger if we don't do that, you tick the box, you deliver to all those teachers, but it was too much for them and it doesn't get embedded, I suppose, you know.
I think that's a really interesting point, that if you look at the Newsy framework and think, you're right, let's spatter, let's get some here, some here, some here, some here, some here. We've got loads and loads of things. Actually, it's much better to have a narrow focus to begin with and look at just really shining a light on certain skills and making sure that as a practitioner, you're happy to deliver that. And by not overburdening you, you know, we do all this research into working memory. And then if we don't put that into practice for teachers as well as students and say, here's 10 things to have in your head, it's very, very easy for you to not feel like you're mastering any of those things. And then as a result, they're not getting the depth. It's better to have one thing initially and expand that. And as you say, once you've got the confidence, like, oh, right, I can do that. I know what I'm doing with that now. And then hopefully get that ball rolling.
Yeah. And as a leader, that was like from a classroom teacher. But as a leader, if I know that, right, this is the thrust of numeracy in my science department over the next half term, and it's just this one thing we're all going to focus on, it would be far easier for me to say, I'm going to say control, but what I mean is like support and drive that consistently, so that it's not just a me approach, it's a team approach, and all the pupils would have got that experience, all those staff, and it'd be easier in a department meeting to say, well, how is everybody getting on with working on those percentages? You know, we could have a good discussion, share our ideas, whereas if you've got 10 different things, you'd just be like, just having like breadcrumbs, if you see them, rather than the loaf, you know?
I like it, yeah, no, I think that's, and then also if you're having that time as a department to talk about how you're getting on, that would be a perfect time to invite the numeracy coordinator to that bit of the meeting. They don't need to be there the whole time, but on the agenda item of numeracy, maybe it's the first thing that you talk about.
Yeah.
I'll move on to my next question, which is, we've worked closely to develop appropriate resources to exemplify numeracy in science. What do you think has been the benefit of this process?
Well, it's again, the issue we have as teachers in teaching is time. You know, it is time to reflect on what you're delivering, time to go and do the research. You know, like I said earlier, I was going through, because I've got the time as an advisor, I was going through looking at numeracy opportunities and ways in which I could do investigations. That's what I was looking at. And I stumbled across this one resource where you change, you know, you measure the angle. And I think it's given the teachers, you know, it's almost addressing the fact, right, they haven't got much time to go and look for this stuff all out there. So what we do, we give them almost a pack, you know, and say, well, look, when you've got 5 minutes, it's all there. Have a quick look through, you know. And I think that's the benefit of creating models, you know, almost like a library for them to go to where they can find stuff, you know. I think that's the benefit, because I don't believe the teachers have, you know, numeracy. I'm going to put my hands up, Dave. Numeracy is not the priority for me. I'm a chemist. I'm trying to drive the chemistry. I know what the chemistry weaknesses of my pupils are, and I'm trying to drive that. So if you say, you've got an hour now to go do some research to improve, you know, I'd probably go down the science route. The numeracy literacy would come second. I know they're very important. So
as it should be, though, with your subject is the main thing. It's whether you can find natural things that the numeracy is not letting them develop then as chemists. So I think in your intro, you said about how many different things there are, that if they've got a weakness in one of those maths golden threads, then they're going to have a weakness then developing it, whether that's interpreting data or rearranging formulae. But it's just having those conversations then, if you've managed to underpin, right, they don't understand rearranging formulae, and having those conversations with maths, because maybe it's a thing that needs to be done as a booster for the entire year group, or maybe it's something that your class are struggling with and you need to have a common language with the maths department to help them then develop.
I tell you what I think is really important, and it's piggybacking on what you've just said, is like interpreting data. You know, we go off as scientists and, you know, we ignore you as a maths department, and we say, right, this is the science we're going to do, and we plot our own course through key stage 3 and into key stage 4. You know, it would be lovely if we had the time to sit down with maths, you know, and just say, right, you know, in year 7, we're thinking of doing this and we need the kids to do this numerical sort of thing. Oh, maths, I said, well, we don't do that to year 8, you know, and to get a coordinated approach where you as the mathematicians would deliver it And I would know, right, in maths, they're delivering it in year 7, term 1, and this is the language they're using. So I don't deliver it till term 2 of year 7. And I say, right, I know last term you were working on. And then that's my you know, it's working with that department to actually almost coordinate your schemes of learning.
Mm. For me, that would be the perfect approach, what you just said, that maths would initially deliver it, and then they'd see it in a real-life authentic context where they can then actually use those skills. Because I think a lot of the things we do are quite abstract in maths. And actually, if you then do an experiment and say, right, you've been doing scatter graphs in maths last term, we're going to measure this on a scatter graph and see what we can see here. Is there a correlation between the data, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, because actually, now I'm going to say what I said earlier was a load of rubbish. You know what I said about that that wonderful resource, because I still love that resource where you measure the angle and you're looking at the speed of the car coming down the ramp. If I went and delivered that, but the kids had done nothing on measuring angles and didn't know anything about angles at all, what a silly thing for me to have done, because it would detract from the science, because I'd have to do so much scaffolding with that sort of that numeracy. And that's part of what we're saying, what is the danger? Mm. You know, I'd waste half that lesson getting them to use, you know, the equipment to measure the angle and to explain what we mean by angles and by that thing then. And if anybody stopped them in the corridor after the lesson and said, what was your lesson about today? They wouldn't be talking about the effect of the angle and the speed of a car down the ramp. They wouldn't talk about any science. Oh, we were learning how to measure the angle, you know, and it would just destroy my lesson in a way.
And that's where these things about having these coordinated approaches, having this dialogue with science, between science and maths, that you know where these things are happening, because measuring angles is something I've done many, many times over the years. And sometimes it goes swimmingly well and sometimes it doesn't. And it can definitely be something that can take, you could take up a whole lesson if you had a certain class in front of you and you think, I haven't done any of the science that I want to do today. And if you just have that, I mean, this is all hypothetical, but if you'd have that conversation with the maths department, say, right, what, have you done measuring angles yet? Say, no, you don't do that till half term 5. But right, well, I'm going to leave that then until after that. So the donkey work has been done.
Yeah.
And I can then use that skill in context in real life and then start getting to think about what the difference the size of the angle would make.
Yeah.
What would happen if it was a certain point.
That's what you're saying about the dangers or the negative side of things, is that I think I'm doing a good job as a science lead by finding these numerical sort of challenges within the thing, the science, but I might be doing more harm to not only the science, but to the maths as well, because I do such a bad job of teaching them that stuff for the first time, they hate maths as well, you know? And so, again, it's time. It's really time we need. You know, I would, I'm saying this now, I'm so passionate. I'm thinking, oh, I'd love to be back in school now and having a go at making a scheme of learning and working with a numeracy coordinator to get it like spot on, you know, because I just think that I'm looking back at my own time. I was just tinkering and I was just messing around, you know, putting bits in by ear, and I thought I was doing the right thing. But I'm reflecting, I'm thinking, I probably, there was minimal impact on what I put in.
Well, thank you for being so reflective. That brings you on to my final question now, which is, why do you think there may be times that science do not develop numeracy in their subjects?
Well, you know, it is time, right? And I'm biased. I'll use year, you know, Key Stage 4. My year 10s sit the exams. We get the examiner's report in August. We get the item level data. And I go through that and I'm looking at what are the weaknesses in chemistry, right? There might be numeracy within that, the numeracy tasks, you know, and I'm looking at what are the weaknesses for my class, of my cohort. And I probably will be biased, you know, I'll tell you, like, percentages, you know, is a weakness, you know, but I probably would focus on, which is my strength in the chemistry as opposed to the numeracy. And I probably would target prioritize the gaps in the science over the gaps in the numeracy and possibly literacy. But I know if I could master the literacy, it would benefit the science. But it's almost, and even though I know that, it's almost by default I go to the science first, because there's, you like we were saying earlier, give me 10 things, you've overloaded my brain. From that item level data, from that examiner's report, I probably would look at 3 things I'd want to change, you know, for me to be easy to manage it as a leader of the subject, to get a consistent approach. And so the numeracy possibly and literacy would go to the bottom of that pile, and therefore it doesn't become the driver.
Could it be that you could have a conversation with Mass? You mentioned that hypothetically, again, say percentages came up as a weakness. Could you say, look, these are the questions that we've had come back from item level data analysis. It's percentages in context. Is there anything you could do? Because I think for a subject like science, if you said, right, deliver these numeracy skills, you feel like that you're having to do the stuff. I think that there's no reason why that sciencey stuff can't be delivered in context in maths. And I think by having that joined up approach, you're then getting a real partnership between subjects rather than just saying, science, you must do numeracy. There's no reason why in maths we look for authentic context. Think, okay, that's quite a dry question. How can I jazz that up? Oh, in chemistry, I know you do this. So let's have a look at a chemistry question with that. I know we've done a podcast with our LNS school, King Henry, and D&T talked about getting those different engineering examples into maths lessons and upskilling maths teachers to be able to deliver that. So there was that element that, yes, we develop numeracy in D&T, but actually in maths we develop engineering because we're going to look at those questions. And actually, I know that they enjoy seeing those in context questions.
I think you're right. You know, I've never been a leader in the school or in leadership and so on. But if I was, and I had a numeracy coordinator in my school, for example, I would make an expectation that they go through the science examiner's report and get off the science department, the item level thing, to know, you know, because do they know, the numeracy code, do they know what the numerical challenge in chemistry, physics, biology is, and what the weakness is for their cohort of kids in their school? And then are they taking that back to the maths department without me being the one driving it? You know, are they going back and saying, hang on now, we've been delivering this percentage of stuff in maths, but they're bombing in science. We need to, you know. So instead of it being driven from the chemistry teacher app, you know, do you think that numeracy coordinators, that's a starting point possibly for them to go through for their schools, you know, the examiner's reports, picking out what the numeracy and to say, well, look, every subject across this school, you know, they can't work, can't change units then, I'm making this up, can't change units, and they can't work out percentages. And so that becomes the driver, you know, again, going small and nailing it, you know.
Technically, anyone listening to this is actually on the website. So there is, happily, I can tell you now, in the numeracy professional learning tab, there is an item level data section, which has got a video explaining on how you can do exactly what Andras is talking about being able to pick out what are the numeracy things in certain subjects and then using those to focus. So thank you for giving a plug to that, Andras.
Yeah, but you're right. It's you know, in a way, we've got the story, you know, working out voltage, Ohm's law, V equals IR. You know, it's simple multiplication, simple rearranging equations. But, you know, do the maths in a key stage for year 10 work, do they have that sort of skill the pupils need to learn? And therefore, do they use our story to deliver that? And it almost acts as a foundation when we come to do that topic. You know, we can say, well, look, in maths now, you've been talking about, the kids have got some idea about, you know, the formula, how to rearrange the formula, the units involved and stuff like that. You know, provided we deliver it differently, so it's not exactly the same, because that would switch the kids off. But, you know, certainly introducing it, we've spoken before, Dave, about speed, distance, time, you know, that topic, you know, that's maths, you know, but we deliver it in physics, you know, and, you know, could we hand that, you know, part of the year 11 physics to the maths department and say, well, look, you're better mathematicians than us. It is maths, really. that small section, you know, you work on that. And we just reference it in the science lessons. You know, we just, you know, piggyback and say, I know in maths now you've done this, and here's the bit of science that goes with it.
I think it would be a case of checking just that they can do it. It also depends. I mean, it's highly likely there's a lot of crossover. It's not absolutely 100%, but higher tier students who do maths tend to do the higher tier in science, intermediate and so on. But there could be someone who's not doing it. And I know from A-level, I taught a module called mechanics. And I know there's a huge amount of crossover with AS physics. I can remember the teacher who taught the AS physics said, oh, well, you all do mechanics, so I know you're fine. I know there were students in his class that didn't do A-level maths, that most of them did, probably 90%, 95%, maybe even 98% of them did, but there was one or two who weren't doing maths. They're like, well, it's all well and good saying that, but I haven't got a clue. I've not seen any of that stuff at all.
Yeah. So the last thing, Dave, that I will say, because obviously I you've got your thread of questions and stuff like that. But I do teach, I have taught A-level chemistry. I'm in the process of teaching A-level chemistry, with a few pupils. And I'm thinking about our math kids, you know, our math pupils in science and numeracy. We do need to get numeracy right for them. And I'm picking math, but you could talk about other groups. My experience of these year 12 pupils then, where you're working on the numerical part of chemistry and you're looking at them to rearrange an equation, working in standard form, changing units, they are ponderous. They are so slow and unsure, you know, in doing this. When I reflect, when I was back in school, you know, I can remember being in physics now. I can remember being in physics in year 12 and working out the resistance. And, you know, I can remember the formula now. I won't say the formula, but it was so easy. You could ask me anything in there and I could rearrange that formula so quickly. You know, we were using standard form. I can't ever remember being taught it, but it was instinctive. Now, the pupils that I work with now in year 12, for example, I don't think whether it's a science follow or maths, I don't know, but they're not resilient in making those steps. They're very, very cautious, you know. And is it a fact that we don't do enough of those type of things in science? In science, am I always asking them to work out the voltage with I times R? You know, am I not saying, well, work out I, you know, work out R? You know, is the challenge not there? And is it not often enough, you know, for it to become embedded within them? So I think, just my personal experience, I don't think we do enough for the math kids in numeracy, in science, because when they come to do A-level chemistry with me, they are so weak on the numeracy.
Well, hopefully the curriculum for Wales will be the opportunity to really develop those types of learners as well as other groups of learners. But look at the time, Andras. I know I've taken up a lot of your time, so thank you very much for joining me today. Much appreciated. Hopefully I can return the favour and talk about developing science and maths one day.
Yes, that's going to be a focus for me next year. I want to have a look at how we improve numeracy in science. So thank you, Dave, as well.
Lovely. Thank you very much.